I've seen us win two games a lot of times, so that's all we got to do. But just do it one time, one game at a time, two times. And so just now got our guy walk on the mound tomorrow, going to enjoy it and take it all in for sure.
Bobby Wood Jr. in the clubhouse yesterday after the Game 3 loss. Game 4 tonight, 7:08 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 6 right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back in, 11 o'clock hour. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Let's go out to our guy, Josh Vernier. Of course, last night, driving back from the K, listening to the postgame. Interesting string of callers at one point or two. Vern, appreciate your time as always, man. He's brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Baseball fans, let's just get right to it. I mean, this is a team that, of course, faces elimination tonight. They have dealt with some bad stretches throughout this season. Nothing quite like this. Give me why Royals fans should feel confident that they can force this thing back to the Bronx.
Well, it's a baseball game, right? Royals could play their best game of the season and still lose because baseball goes all baseball, and vice versa. They could play their worst game of the season and walk away victorious. But, you know, by now I would like to think Royals fans know what they have going for them in Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, but you're also staring down the barrel of a guy that for the past decade has been one of the five best right-handers in the sport, and he has an opportunity to punch his ticket to the ALCS for the team that he grew up rooting for. It's not going to be easy. I understand the Royals held their own against Gerrit Cole back in game one. But Gerrit Cole's Gerrit Cole for a reason, his ability to adjust. I expect him to be really good tonight. Clark Schmidt was outstanding last night. Yankees earned that win. Royals are going to have to do the same tonight.
I know there's other things that go into it, and it might be oversimplifying it, but I mean, I can't help but just thinking, all right, how this series has gone, what could change it tonight? Bobby Witt, Vinny, Salvi, I mean, they're 4-for-37.
Yeah. 100%. Back against the wall, season on the line. I'm looking to my superstars. Seth Lugo's not there. Cole Reagans isn't there. Neither one of them really delivered in a fashion that we've become accustomed to seeing in 2024. Somebody needs to, right? If the two all-star pitchers are not going to be able to meet their standard, well, let's hope Bobby and Salvi can tonight. Neither one of them really with a great opportunity to come through last night. The one trip to the dish for Bobby with a runner in scoring position. They just worked around him. Salvi never came to the plate with a man in scoring position. Vinny had that big opportunity in the fifth. But again, you know, last night's game, sure, there were moments for Vinny, for MJ, for Yuli, for Bubich, for Lugo. And no, they weren't able to make the big hit or the big pitch. And the Yankees were. They came out on top. It was a great game last night, but there. Star and Giancarlo Stanton, their possible future Hall of Famer, looked like one last night. Let's hope Gerrit Cole does not tonight.
Vern, I know that the losers lament that the umpires or referees impacted a game in a way that cost you, but I'm not going to just ignore the fact that it's had an impact on this series. Am I saying it has lost the Royals the series or it has lost the Royals an individual game? No. But this game is being called horribly, right? I don't have to just ignore the fact that the umpiring and the strike zone has been bad.
I don't know. You know, the 3-1 pitch to Juan Soto last night in the fourth inning, did I think that was strike two? But again, MJ put the ball in play, you know. Vinny, man on third, two outs. You're one of the best in the sport in that situation. I needed you to do that last night. Yuli Gurriel, man, you've picked this team up so often over the past week and a half. I needed you last night. And look, if you're waiting for the home plate umpire to help win the game for you, you shouldn't be in this situation. Royals had opportunities last night. They did not capitalize, and the Yankees did. Right, Yankees pitched better. Luke Weaver, Tommy Canley, Clay Holmes, Clark Schmidt, they were outstanding. Giancarlo Stanton was outstanding. The eye of Juan Soto continues to be outstanding. Yankees just won that game.
When you look at, and I understand like the what you're talking about, but like obviously the walks have been a huge problem for the Royals. And if the strike zone's going to be inconsistent, it seems like it's making it life even harder for them. But well, I won't disagree. The walks are maybe the second biggest issue next to what he said, the middle of the order.
Yeah, the nine walk. Listen, walks in game one. You know, all I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm so fixated on every single pitch. Walks are not the same. We could dive into each one of those eights in game one. Now, there's no excusing Sam Long's to lead off the sixth or the bases loaded walk by John Schreiber. And we talked about that on the postgame show. We could lay part of the loss at the feet of Long and Schreiber in game one. But nine walks last night, no, you're not normally going to win a game when you walk nine. But if we're being honest, two of the walks really turned into something. The leadoff walk that I mentioned to Juan Soto on that questionable 3-1 pitch. And then the walk, the non-competitive walk to the eight hitter Oswaldo Cabrera. Outside of that, the other seven walks that happened last night did not play a factor in the final.
Sure, but one of those walks led to a run, and it was 3-2. Like, you know, whether we like it or not, I mean,
that's the Soto one.
Like, yeah, when you throw enough walks in a game, you're going to get there. I think that's probably been maybe the most disappointing part of the series. Maybe not even for me, Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby. But the fact that the starting pitching staff, which has been the bell cow of this team, hasn't had but just the one start from Cole Reagans in the wild card where you're like, wow, you did everything to help us win tonight.
No doubt. But, you know, I refuse to find myself disappointed in this season, in this team, certainly in those starting pitchers. Yeah, if you're going to win the World Series, we've known this all season that those starting pitchers were going to need to be studly. You're in the final seven, the final eight in Major League Baseball. You have a chance to still punch your ticket to the ALCS. You know, this is what happens in the playoffs. You're facing really good teams, and you know, who's playing the best right now? You know, that could send me off on a whole other discussion. I swear to God. Please, Tigers, Mets in the World Series, and baseball can just continue to screw itself with this goofy postseason. Two six seeds? Are you kidding me? What a joke.
We're talking to Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. Again, his on-deck show begins at 6 o'clock right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. We know they're facing elimination, so it's all hands on deck tonight. Would it surprise you at all knowing that Urseg did not even pitch last night? There wasn't a spot really for that. If tonight, if he gives them two-plus innings?
You have to. I mean, unless Michael Wacha's on a different level than what we've seen over the past few weeks, but even if he is, even if he goes seven, he hands it right to Lucas Urseg. No, all hands on deck. Shoot, Cole Reagans, it's a bullpen day for Cole Reagans, so that one inning of work, who knows? You know, he could come in for a big at-bat against, an Austin Wells, a Jazz Chisholm, a Juan Soto. I would be more surprised to see Cole Reagans work that bullpen inning, but then I would, two-plus from Lucas Urseg. But, yeah, everyone is available tonight.
And then lineup-wise, other than maybe Adam Frazier not being there, you expect the same. And Michael Massey obviously has come up big throughout this series in that leadoff spot.
Yeah, I think you run back the same lineup we saw back on Saturday with Massey at the top, Yuli in the five spots, MJ, Tommy, Izzy, and Michael Garcia. And I understand, you know, Dusty brought it up earlier this morning, had callers that brought it up last night on the postgame show. Vinny, 0-for-12 with a walk. If Vinny is no longer just grinding through an injury, but it's now starting to be a detriment, I'm fine if Q sits him down. It's painful that it's his birthday, and he would have to take a spot on the bench.
Happy birthday to you, too, by the way, Vern.
Garrett Hampson as well.
Everybody around another. The room. They're never losing tonight. Your birthday, Garrett Hampson, and Vinny's?
And if you go back and look at it, 10-10-2014, Gordo's big home run in Baltimore, 10-10-1985, George Brett with a big home run. So put your money on a lefty bat tonight. I don't know if it's Massey, if it's the birthday boy, Vinny Pasquantino, but Royals history would say a lefty bat's going bridge tonight.
Wait, are you a lefty too?
No, I'm just a bad baseball player that swung from the right side.
Too bad, man. You know, you'd have been in the bigs if God had just born left-handed.
Yep. Throw with your left hand, swing from the left side, and we'd all be in the big leagues. It's that easy.
It's like certainly being born 6'11", you know?
Yes, exactly.
You just have that advantage. When you look at what the Yankees have been doing, you said, hey, the Yankees won that game last night. They won that game on Saturday. What pitfalls do the Royals have to avoid from the Yankees? Like right now, Judge has not been the person who beat him. Stanton, that was his first big game. He hit the ball hard all damn night. But what do they need to try to neutralize from New York if they're going to win tonight?
Boy, neutralize. Boy, that's tough. They're giving themselves just such great at bats. They're doing such a great job of forcing the Royals to come to them, and like you've mentioned, you know, take their walks. You know, you look at the first three games, and it's a push, right? 11 runs for each side. I don't think maybe you guys have an answer. I certainly don't. There isn't something to me where I'm like, it's that again? Are you? No, obviously, yeah. 8 walks in game 1, 9 last night. But that goes without being said. You can't issue free passes. You can't give up an extra 90 feet. We say that stuff in the regular season. No, this is just going to come down to who makes the play. You know, what Giancarlo Stanton did last night, right? Back-to-back sliders basically in the same spot, and he touched up that second one. Yuli Gurriel got back-to-back fastballs from Luke Weaver in the eighth inning, and he missed. Vinny Pasquantino had back-to-back offerings in the fifth inning. The second one was good enough to put in play and to make some real noise, and he just missed it. Who doesn't miss tonight? Who makes the big pitch? Who's going to be the hero tonight? And where we started, man, all eyes obviously focused on Bobby Witt Jr. This, for him and for Salvador Perez, biggest game that maybe they play in for the rest of their careers. Who knows?
There was definitely nervous energy, dead silence at times going into those at-bats late at Kauffman Stadium. What do you make of the crowd? We talked about earlier, I think it's the vocal minority on social media. Some people thought the crowd wasn't great. Up until the fifth inning, this team only had one hit, Vern. I don't know where the crowd was supposed to erupt, and when it was fitting, it did. What did you make of the crowd?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I'm more than pleasantly surprised at how it was, 95-5 Royals fans, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys could tell me if I'm wrong,
but that's about right.
It was dominated by Royals fans. That was nice to see when you could have made a pretty penny by selling them to Yankees fans. That fifth inning when Michael Massey hit that Eric Hosmer-esque RBI triple in the, when he pops up on third base and he can't breathe because he's so excited and he just rants. Man, that was great. And that place was pulsating. It was like hurting my eardrum. So in the big moment, they made noise. And yeah, I mean, once that game was tight, they sat there and enjoyed a terrific baseball game. I thought the crowd was... quality. I thought it was a quality 40,000 in the building last night. It was nice to see.
I think that's part of what stood out about the two games and why I'm not down, I guess, in the Royals' chances to win this series, Vern, is the two games they lost were both really good, highly competitive Major League Baseball playoff games. What you're talking about existed, right? One team made one play, one team didn't make one play. That might very well be the difference in those two games.
Jazz Chisholm in the seventh inning in game one, and, I mentioned Stanton, but you earlier brought up that leadoff walk in the fourth inning, right? Yeah. If that 3-1 pitch is called strike two, full count, who knows how Lugo executes the next offering to Juan Soto. Yeah, it's a razor-thin margin come the postseason when you have two well-rounded teams that are playing with confidence like these two squads are.
Josh Fernier, our Royals insider, his on-deck show tonight, 6 o'clock, gets you set for game 4 of the ALDS. Appreciate it, Vern.
All right, thanks for having me on.
First pitch, 7:08, right here on 96.5 The Fan. And, of course, Vern's post-game show. Hopefully, we're talking about going to a game 5 and not the end of a pretty special season in Kansas City after tonight.
That's what we're trying to avoid. Also, you had told me earlier, I said I'll do a song live, and you're like, which song?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's Vinny Pasquantino's birthday and he doesn't have a hit in this series, I think the decision's made.
Do you think they're actually not going to have him in the lineup
today? No, I don't.
He's going to be in the
lineup. He's going to be in the lineup. You do not. This is the same thing going back to the starting pitching. Vinny Pasquantino had a great year. He has been one of their most important players. You got to count on Vinny Pasquantino tonight to come through with a big hit for you.
I'm with you.
It is. There is no reason not to count on Vinny Pasquantino based on that. Which means in the 1 o'clock hour today, I will once again sing Pasquantino live. And we know what happened the last time we did Pasquantino live. It worked out pretty good for our guy, Vinny. So That's happening in the 1 o'clock hour. I just got to find the music, Drew. I believe I still have the lyrics somewhere.
Yeah. I'm fully in support of him being in the lineup tonight. I know that started, I think, this morning on the morning show with Dusty, and I get the thought process with it. I just don't believe that's a move they make. I also I think you look at what that three had been throughout the season. I understand that he's dealing with a thumb injury and all that, but that still is your best chance to create offense. Props to guys like Tommy Pham and Michael Massey and Mikel Garcia that have been really good in this, Jared Hampson, this series in the postseason. But ultimately, we know if this team is going to all of a sudden, if this team is all of a sudden, though, going to put up some runs against Gerrit Cole, I still think you like Vinny's your chances with Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny in the middle of the order.
This is the thing about these close playoff games. He was 2 inches away from getting a single in that inning in which Bobby got on base, Salvi hit behind him. If his hit counts, well, then Salvi puts in the game-tying run, and then we'll just see what happens for the rest of the game. And so that can't – I do think it's close. I asked Vinny in postgame last night how close he feels like the offense is. I think it's right there. Like, he thinks the offense is close. You can sense that they've left some runs on the table. Last night, maybe less so than other parts of the series – but I definitely felt there's been some runs left in this table for this team, especially in those first few games. And so I'll just hope tonight is the night they have it. Because as you and I both know, and everybody knows, you don't have very many elimination games in a season. Typically 1, 2, 3, maybe tops on this end. This is it for the Royals. They know they have to win if they want to keep playing baseball.
As far as what we've seen, his thumb is fine, right? I mean, I know that you guys.
I don't think it's perfect or anything. I don't know.
It's not like he's flexing his hand or anything. You know, he's not doing any of that, is he? In terms
No, but I don't know if it's fair to say it's fine either. I'm guessing he's feeling that thumb.
It's not to the point where he would be taken out of the lineup because of the thumb being the issue, is what I'm saying.
No, if you're asking, no, I mean,
like,
but
I don't know, because you guys were in the locker room, in the clubhouse. I don't know if you noticed, like he wasn't doing it on the broadcast, but he's like flexing his hand, or if there's any of that.
No.
Trash of the day.
All right, we know Halloween is right around the corner. I don't know if you've already got your kids' costumes figured out and everything like that.
They're good to go.
This was not Halloween yet, but there's a photo from Germany of an individual that was caught speeding. Traffic camera.
Mm-hmm.
I say individual because I honestly don't know the age, the gender, or anything. And you're like, what? What do you mean? Well, that's because in this screenshot of this individual driving, the individual is dressed up like the Cookie Monster. Full costume. The screenshots are hilarious. Cookie Monster was caught speeding on camera in Germany. It was in Dortmund by a roadside camera, captured a person blue suit on a big googly eye focused dead ahead on the road. I mean, just stand straight ahead.
Who drives in a full Cookie Monster costume? Is that legal?
Going 60 and a 50. Yeah, could be worse.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
It could be a lot worse.
In the TMZ article, it says, on a more serious note, cops say wearing a big costume like this can obscure a person's vision. And they're saying Cookie Monster's lucky not to have ended up in the hospital.
Oh. Is it illegal?
If he's ever
caught. If not, then just leave me alone.
He faces a fine if he's ever caught. Right now, they didn't pull him over. This was a traffic cam. They don't know who this individual is. The license plate was not captured, so... The cars reportedly, they did find out, I guess they did get the license plates, as they did reportedly find out it's registered to a 57-year-old man in a nearby town, but it's hard to tell who was driving the vehicle.
Can you get off at court? Because they have to be able to, most of the time these traffic cams, be able to recognize the driver of the car in the situation. I think he's getting out of this ticket, dude. I think even if he gets called to court and they are like, it's your car, you were driving, I'd be like, prove it. What do you mean? This Cookie Monster costume? That's not enough to prove that I was driving the car. I lend my car out all the time, is what I would say. Could have been any of my friends in that Cookie Monster outfit, and I will not be held responsible for this. Have you ever, obviously we've all been to, a costume party, and you have to go to the party dressed in the outfit.
You don't have the mask
on,
though.
Yeah, but if it's got a mask, you wait to put that on until you get there, right?
You don't drive with the mask. There are safety concerns there, too, I think. Someone says he's already identified. What are you guys talking about? It's a Cookie Monster. There's no identification needed.
Was he seen leaving a bakery? That's was true. He like leaving the scene
only
of a crime?
The only way this was better is if in the still shot somehow he's eating a cookie. That would have been.
He's holding a jar
of milk
cookies.
Or a glass of milk. Like, that's the only way the still shot would be better.
I wonder if he, I mean, you would think, too, if he did get pulled over, then he would sell it by...
Does he talk like the Cookie Monster as the officer rolls down, or as they roll out the window?
What a moment. Sir, can you please give me your license and registration? And take that mask off for just a second. I mean, honestly, the still shots are incredible. He's just, like, in the back of this, like, late model Audi in a full Cookie Monster costume. It looks so ludicrous that you just can't hardly believe it. And so, yeah, I would, you know, I say... I mean, I get that they're, like, saying the fine's... He said if he's ever caught, the fine is 40 euros. Okay? I mean, he'll probably be okay.
What is that, like...
I don't know, 50 bucks?
60 bucks?
I don't know what the, conversion between euro and American dollars is. Anybody know that off the
top
of your
head? Throwing 10 over? 60's not bad. $60?
Oh, it's not even that. 43.71.
Oh, that's a...
Pretty much even with the euro at the moment. Yeah, that really isn't bad.
913-586-7965. Next time they're running late for work, they're throwing on the Big Bird costume, flying down 435.
Say, like, come and get
the
me.
Big Bird. He won't be able to fit in the car.
Yeah.
Just play dumb, man. Get a lawyer and be
open,
like,
the sunroof.
It's me.
Open the sunroof a little bit. Have some room.
Pleading the fifth.
Cody earlier was mentioned the panoramic. That doesn't open. That's just panoramic, right?
No, mine opens.
So could you wear the Big Bird and the... Would the head of the Big Bird stick out the top of the V-dub?
Okay. The panoramic roof goes like... It goes like two-thirds of the way back. Okay. You can, the sun comes in all the way to the back of the car, right?
Ooh.
But about two-thirds of the way. That's very nice. I gotta be honest. I didn't have a sunroof in my last car. Big fan of the sunroof being open. It's nice.
I have one. I don't feel like I utilize it enough.
I use it... all the time.
An old car I had a sunroof. If it was sunny outside, open all the time. If it was warm enough, it was always open.
Fellow says that guy's going to show up in court with a bag of Chips Ahoy.
I forced my kids to become windows down kids. I like the windows down when I drive when it's nice outside. And when they were little, they'd be like,
"It's on the highway?
It's windy."
On the highway?
It's not windy.
Wait, on the highway?
On the highway, I rolled up for them.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll have the windows down on the highway.
Yeah.
No.
I like the windows down, man.
A joyride, yeah.
I like the windows down.
The only way I've done that on the highway, if you know, when I was driving, like in the you got an ocean to your right, you're in the mountains. Sure. I'm with you there, and then it's just like just soak it all in. But if I'm going on 435, I'm stuck in traffic, and you got exhaust fumes. I don't really want my car window completely rolled down and everything. You know,
fair enough.
Houston traffic, not exactly wanted to roll my windows down, just sitting there.
Smog,
just
filtering.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm with you.
Driving 20 minutes home. It's not that big a deal.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red half hour, and then we'll get right back to the Royals. But I want to talk a little bit about what's one thing that they did on Monday night that I think we're going to see a lot more of the rest of the way.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red half hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
And a reminder, coming up at 12:10, we'll have our weekly conversation with former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes. Of course, he's on the Chiefs radio network, and you hear him along with Mitch Holthus, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's a bye week for Danan. Find out what he's doing in the bye week. Who knows? I don't know. Are the Iowa Hawkeyes in action this weekend? I don't know if he's going up there. We'll find out from Danan and figure out what he's doing for the bye week. Also, of course, ask him how he feels about this team, 5-0. A banged up team, but still 5-0. I think we all agree their best game maybe of the season on Monday night. So we'll get into that with Dana. We'll probably also ask him about this, which is how the Chiefs are going to approach the tight end position going forward. Because before the Rashee Rice injury even, and before we saw them utilize multiple tight ends again on Monday night, they were already featuring 42% of their snaps with multiple tight end sets. They were third in the NFL in 13 personnel, but that was happening before the Rashee Rice injury. Then we all saw that opening drive against the Saints on Monday night, where it was a heavy dose of Kareem Hunt, and then any pass essentially went to either Travis Kelce, Noah Gray. Later in the game, there was a pass even Jody Fortson caught, who was just activated from the practice squad after, I think, being on the street, getting cut during camp from the Miami Dolphins. So that is clearly part of the formula for them going forward. I'm not saying it's going to be every single week where we're going to see the opening drive feature tight ends, but that is clearly an area they believe they're going to have success in, a combination of utilizing multiple tight ends, and it was effective. And I think the running game is effective because of that.
I think what I loved about it is that it set up the rest of the day on offense. They spent, Gold, almost an entire half throwing only exclusively to tight ends. They didn't even bother throwing to a wide receiver. They legitimately just threw to Noah Gray, threw to Travis Kelce, flipped one out to Jody Fortson. They spent almost an entire half of football before they even bothered throwing to a wide receiver. They just kept going back to the well, kept going back to the well, kept going back to the well. Now, I think you got to be a little bit careful with it because you have to at least understand that there's a limit, I think, in which you should use Travis Kelce and worry about his health come week 17. An early bye week is bad for the Chiefs, just generally speaking, as it were. But it's bad for the Chiefs because I don't want Travis Kelce running out of steam in week 13, 14, 15, or any of the things beyond. He's a great player. He's taken a lot of beating over the course of his career. And we saw what taking week 17 or week 18, I guess, game 17, week 18 off meant for Travis Kelce last year from a health standpoint going into the postseason. So if they're going to have this, let's throw to tight ends all the time, I think it has to include a heavy dose of Noah Gray. If this is your new strategy on tight ends, Noah Gray should be a regular participant.
But that's the thing. It's not all that new, though. As I said, they were already doing this 42% of the time in terms of the formation. Doesn't always mean that they're passing to the tight end or even passing. It could be off or run off of it, too. But it was almost half the time anyway. So I don't think it's as big of an adjustment to that. But to your point, just the wear and tear, I think we all acknowledge for Travis, it's not about individual ability. That is all still there. It's can he still be effective in week 15 if they have to utilize him, to your point. So yeah, it's Noah Gray. It's Jody Fortson. I still think Jared Wiley, I know he's a rookie, and so, you know, he hasn't really done anything on the field yet. And maybe that changes post bye week and further into the season. But yeah, they're going to have some other options. It's still why, even take it away from the tight ends, why I believe they still need to go trade for a wide receiver. As great as it was nice to see that formations with the tight end work, it was nice to see Juju Smith-Schuster have a huge game. All that, I don't know if that's sustainable for another 15 weeks, including the postseason. That's why you pick your name. We've all done it, whether you think it should be Amari Cooper, whether you think it should be Darius Slayton or Adam Thielen, whoever, Deontay Johnson, we can keep going. Somebody in the next 4 weeks, I think they will go out and acquire.
Okay, over on Twitch, they were talking about this very thing. M98 had mentioned on there, and then I went to go look up on there. Did you look at Tyreek Hill's Snapchat yesterday? Is he longing?
That could mean a lot. By the way, that could mean so many different things. That's just so many different directions that could be for Tyreek.
Tyreek Hill, starting about 15 hours ago on Snapchat, and you're going to be like, what time of day was that? Okay, just listen.
Go ahead.
Tyreek Hill, 15 hours ago on Snapchat, posted 25 straight snaps that are him catching a touchdown for the Chiefs, him hugging Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes smiling, him catching another ball from the Kansas City Chiefs. I am not kidding.
You follow him on Snapchat?
They just pointed it out. I just went and looked it up. He posted 25 straight stories of him scoring touchdowns, catching passes, bro-hugging Patrick Mahomes, all straight consecutive over on Snapchat. Are we reading into this?
No.
That's a lot of posts,
2025.
Man. 25.
2025.
Drew's saying he's going to... I don't know if it was 25. I was estimating. It was a lot of posts. It continues to be. It started about 20 hours ago. I don't know, but it's continued since then. Huh. Like, go to his Snapchat if you want.
Here's the thing,
it is nothing but cheese photos.
So, interesting, yeah. Do I read into it? Not that much. We're talking about Tyreek Hill here. There's so many, so many things that can mean to him. So many of his mindset changes from one day to the next. I have no clue. If you're insinuating, do I think that he wants to be back in Kansas City? Well, I would have told you that 2 years ago. Yeah, I don't think he ever really wanted to leave. He left because he needed the money. That's why he left. The Chiefs offered a big contract. It wasn't good enough. He's got a lot of financial things to take care of.
Well, maybe he really misses his guy. He really misses his quarterback.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I just don't know if you're insinuating he was requesting a trade to Kansas City or something. No, I do not think that's what that. I don't think that's what that means. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking it means he'd like to be here.
Well, again, I think that was the case. We could have said that a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
I think it means he'd like to be back in Kansas City. I would say it makes
dude,
it likely.
Of course he would. He's got Tim Boyle who got cut, and now he's got Tyler Huntley, and he's had, no offense to K-State fans, Skylar Thompson throwing the football. Yeah, I would want a different quarterback right now, too. The Dolphins stink.
That's why Devontae Adams is requesting a trade.
Awful.
If Tyreek Hill made a wish list like Devontae Adams has, apparently.
Chiefs would be number one, right? I don't think they can afford him, if you want to know the truth. But
neither one.
I don't think they can afford Tyreek. I was just pointing out what was happening over on
Snapchat. It's interesting. Who knows what's going through his mind?
He's probably sick of, is it,
That's what I'm saying, Tyler Huntley. Snoop Huntley, whatever it is.
What happened to Skylar Thompson? Did he get hurt, or did they just, moved on?
Yeah, he's hurt. They cut Boyle, and then Thompson's hurt.
That's right, they cut Tim Boyle. I mean, he only has 286
yards. Does Ryan Tannehill just not want to play football anymore?
Well, he don't want to play for Miami. They bailed on his ass.
I know, but, nobody else is... called him up.
They finally got a lead this past weekend, right? I mean, there had been a point where they hadn't even led
the Patriots
for barely at all. Yeah,
I mean, the Patriots have only beat the crappy Cincinnati Bengals, Drew. So, I mean, it's pretty stunning. Pretty stunning.
That's their only win. And who's the Bengals' only win against?
Drake May starting finally for the Patriots.
The Red Rifle and the Carolina Panthers.
Oh my God! If your only win is against the Carolina Panthers, yikes!
My wife told me that I might need to not watch the game on Sunday because the one game that they won, I was at the NASCAR race and I did not watch, and they won the game. I watched the other games and they lost all of them.
Maybe you should stay away from your team.
Apparently, I'm the curse. I guess I don't know.
I mean, something's wrong.
You got the hat on today. How's that hair? How's that hair?
The Browns getting in. The Browns getting in a little bit more. I think I'm going to get it cut here soon. I was offered to go and get it bleached again, actually.
Joe Burrow, that haircut, though, when you're 1-4, you can't have the haircut that he has when you're 1-4.
It's not like he went and did it when they were 1-4.
But you got to fix it. When you're 1-4, you as a quarterback, you cannot have that haircut.
So you're saying he needs to dye it back to his natural hair.
Yes. When you are 1-4, you cannot have that kind of haircut and hairstyle. I know it sounds very Colin Coward of me right now, but you can't. You can't take you seriously.
You think there's just like a limit, huh?
Yeah, you can't
does
have
a little
haircut
coward
when
with the backwards hat. Baker Mayfield takes.
Yeah, and I apologize for that. But 1-4, you can't have that haircut right now.
You got to just buzz it. You got to go you're going through a life crisis. It's time to get things right. Mm-hmm. You can't have dyed tips anymore.
I just don't think, you just got to, there's some things you can't do when you're not winning. And that would be one of them. It's time to go ahead and look like a, normal NFL quarterback for a second.
Has anyone looked up what it would cost to acquire Tyreek Hill, contract-wise? What the acquiring team would take? Because someone probably should call Miami on Tyreek Hill.
I think base salary is fairly low remaining this year. I don't know what it is next year. He also wants a new contract. Didn't that come out rework it?
I was going to say
he just reworked it.
He is nothing this year, actually. It's not
1
really
million base
problem.
Or something, right?
Yeah, he $1.2 million base and $941,000 roster bonus for each week. So every week that goes on, another $1 million that you technically wouldn't owe him this year if you're the acquiring team. He is a $31 million cap hit next year.
What are we wasting our time for?
And the year after that, he is a $55 million cap hit. But he's at no dollar dead cap hit in year two. So, I mean, you got to be willing to pay him $31 million next year. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, just because I don't care about the Snapchat thing.
Did you see?
Well, really washed that away pretty quick, huh?
There was something that came up. I think Mahomes commented on it.
I don't even have Snapchat anymore. Do you?
I do not.
No, somebody pointed it out to me on Twitch.
There was a side by side of, because I think this past Saturday there was an anniversary of when Cincinnati played Texas Tech, when Kelsey played Mahomes in college, and they showed their haircuts. And Mahomes,
they were bad.
And Mahomes was like, hey, Travis, you're trying to run this back, I think, and have the cuts a little bit different. Mahomes, obviously, a lot shorter hair. I don't even remember what Travis Kelsey's hair was like. I think it was just I don't know I don't remember if it was shaved or what, but.
It was long.
Oh yeah,
it was like Corey from Boy Meets World '90s. It wasn't even a mullet. It was just like long, flowing locks is what Travis's looked like, and Mahomes just looked like he hadn't seen a proper barber. It just looked like someone hadn't cut his hair or cut it poorly. Is probably the way I would lay it out.
Patrick was getting the crowd fired up yesterday at the K, though. They should have just kept showing him more.
Oh, I know. Every time they showed him on the Jumbotron, the place went nuts.
They should have just, every half inning, they should have just showed him more. He was doing his part. Eric Hosmer also was pretty cool. He threw out the first pitch, but he was there with
flashed
his son.
Flashed at the World Series.
He's holding his son, and he flashes and does a let's effing go on the video. Boy, that was pretty cool. Yeah, they both did their part to fire up the crowd, too. And we'll be curious to see who that is tonight. We were guessing, who do you think throws out the first pitch tonight? It was right around this time where we found out it was Haas yesterday. You think it's Gordo? We saw Alex Gordon in the stairwell, basically, as we were walking down to the clubhouse. He was obviously at the
game. I think
it's
probably another member of the 14 or 15 team. So unless it's going to be Ned Yost comes out of there, I think it'll just be some version of that. Would be my guess for the ALDS. It'll be another one of those tonight. We'll see. You and I will obviously be covering the game for that, but I think it'll probably be another member of the 14-15 team. I don't know why it wouldn't be. You're in the playoffs, last playoff team to do it. You're not going to have one of your active playoff players throw out the first pitch. So unless they made amends with Frank White sometime in the last 24 hours.
Something tells me he will not be. I don't know why, but you know, just have a feeling that he will not be throwing out the first pitch.
That's probably fair. There is one part of the Chiefs offense. You and I agree. It sounded like Ross Tucker, who joined us yesterday, agreed. Nate Taylor agreed on Tuesday. Sunday was the best they've played on offense all season. That's the best Patrick Mahomes has looked all season. One thing that really stood out to me that if I'm going to say, hey, how can this offense flirt with the top 10? Look, I don't think they're a top five offense anymore. They're missing too many key players at too many key spots to do that. But how do they flirt with top 10, right? How do they become an effective offense week in and week out? I thought we saw the first glimpse of that yesterday or on Sunday. And even though none of them were completed, the continued and now I would say almost forced in a good way attempts to get the ball to Xavier Worthy deep did not go unnoticed by me. If you look at his stat line, you'd be like, well, he was fine. I guess he had 25 yards. Oh, no. They threw to him on back-to-back deep passes on two different drives. Both could have been called pass interference. One was, so we know it had a direct impact on the game. They threw to him another time. It was a little short of that. They have started to force feed the deep balls to Xavier Worthy. And I think that that's what's making the middle of the field easier later in that game where you have to start respecting it if they're going to throw it down that way to Worthy three times a game, four times a game, right?
There's no doubt that if you're going to have even the opportunity to stretch the field and you are able to take that shot a couple times a game, there's a very good chance with his speed that a defender is going to hold or pass interfere and you're going to get that call. And we saw that. You got to have the protection with your offensive line to have the time for that play to develop. That's the other part of this equation. You know, we got to make sure Patrick Mahomes has to have time to
pressure rate's still been okay this year.
Yeah, so
it's been better than league average.
If he's given time, then yeah, they're going to have an opportunity a couple times a game to take shots. You hope to connect. But as you said, even if you don't, you're probably getting at least one of those called. I mean, I'm not comparing Worthy to this next player I'm about to mention, but I was watching the London game, Jets Vikings, on Sunday morning, and you guys probably were watching Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson. In the second half, I think he had only one or two catches, but there were probably three and two drive holding or PI calls that he drew. Now, again, that's Justin Jefferson. My point being is you don't have to catch the football to have a huge impact on the play.
Correct.
If you're going to draw a flag. And that's what Xavier Worthy was able to do.
Multiple times. Uh-huh. Well, he got one of the flags, but he could have easily drawn two. And so I like the insistence to do it. I think there should be three times a game when you tell the defense, we're throwing it down to him really deep. Now, look, eventually they just put two guys on him all the time. Well, then I guess you can't do it. Oh, no. But that means two guys are on him all the time, which means the safety is abandoning the other side of the field multiple times a game. And that's when those deep crossers to Justin Watson work, those underneath stuff to Juju Smith-Schuster work. You could fool them in the screen game. But for a few weeks, at the very least, you got to tempt them into it a little bit. I thought it opened things up for the offense quite a bit. And yet it had a positive impact that he was near making multiple plays. And honestly, if he doesn't get pass interfered both times, probably makes one of those catches. He got interfered with both times. One of them they called. But if, he probably makes one if they don't pass interfere him. That's typically how it works. And so that just feels like a really important part of their offense going forward, especially because you and I and all of us are going to desperately be watching the growth of Xavier Worthy. Because last year, all they added was Mecole Hardman. They didn't really add to a wide receiver unit that wasn't very good. They just waited for Rashee Rice to develop into a monster. I don't know, because of the injuries they have this year, if they can just wait for Xavier Worthy to develop into a monster. I feel more desperate about it this year than last year. But maybe that's because I now know what Rashee Rice was when healthy for this team. But over the next 3 weeks, find out. You don't have to trade for anybody for 3 weeks. Find out everything you can find out about Xavier Worthy in the next 3 weeks. That way you're making an informed decision.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see the continued development. I think we will. I said this with the Juju production as well, Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't care if he has two more 100-yard games. I still think they need to trade for a receiver. It's not about
Worthy has two more 100, because then you're taking the health factor out of it.
Yeah.
And instead you're saying they have an emerging young star at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a huge boost. Maybe it changes the degree, but I don't think they should look at any of that and say, well, we don't need wide receiver help. Sure. Does that mean they go and get someone that's not going to be as, fun and flashy for the fan base? Sure. They typically, let's be real, when they've invested, that's why even the Tyreek Hill thing you brought up, I laugh, because they really, other than when they've drafted, they typically have not gone out and spent either a ton of money on wide receiver or given up significant draft capital. Hell, nope. The biggest draft capital they've given up was for Kadarius Toney. Yeah, like that's the biggest draft capital they've given up for a wide receiver, other than drafting the guy directly, as in Xavier Worthy in the first round. Duh. But you know what I'm saying? At the trade deadline stuff, it's not typically a market they get all that aggressive in. We hear a lot of rumors, a lot of rumblings. That applies for every team in the NFL.
Odell and Devontae. Mm-hmm. And
even though I think Devontae Adams is definitely getting traded this year, just not to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear where he's going.
I just think the Chiefs get mentioned with bigger names that they don't typically land.
When you're in the middle of a dynasty, anytime a veteran's available, the Chiefs are always going to get brought up. Other than the quarterback position, every single veteran that might be available will always somehow be linked. Well, Kansas City's got like the second best odds to land said player. Yeah, because they're all in because of where they're at as an organization. They're trying to three-peat. So I get it. Any player we hear in 2 weeks that, hell, even I think with Kareem Hunt, maybe not as much, but if a running back was available, the Chiefs.
Before Kareem Hunt, it would have been a slam dunk, probably.
I think so. Reminder, coming up at 2 o'clock today, so when we get off the air, you want to come by our station, 7000 Squibb Road, 96.5 The Fan parking lot. We've got some playoff-themed t-shirts. We did a t-shirt drop yesterday. The guys from the morning show at 10 o'clock were handing those out. Those went away pretty quickly, a half hour or so? We've got 100 more of these playoff-themed shirts thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law. And as we said earlier, I think the shirt is pretty fitting for today and for what's on the line, which is the Royals trying to avoid being eliminated and having their season come to an end. The shirt is the quote from Bobby. We didn't come this far just to come this far.
I think he still feels that way.
Absolutely.
And I'm wearing the jersey from the other quote. Bobby, again, has been dropping some very good Royals lines. The boys are playing some ball. We didn't come this far just to come this far. Let's earn it. We'd love to give you a free t-shirt. 2 o'clock, as Gold mentioned, maximum 2 per car, 1 per person in the car. You can't come yourself and ask for 2. Mm-hmm. Those are per the, if you got a problem, take it out with spec. Although, I feel like you had a long work day yesterday. Maybe just take it easy on him and take your free shirt, okay? Just make be nice to Spec. He didn't do anything to you today, okay? He's just trying to offer you a free t-shirt. Coming up, 2 o'clock. We're going to help hand him out, I assume?
We are.
Great.
So please come as early as possible. Be ready. And then, come as early as possible.
Right. Yeah. Come right at 2 o'clock.
Come right at 2, and let's hand out these shirts, baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I want to get them in the hands of the people before they head out to the K.
Uh-huh. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then we'll talk some more Chiefs football with Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He's, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll ask him about Xavier Worthy and the opportunities down the field, and does he agree that even with Juju Smith-Schuster's production, that they still need to go out and find another receiver? That's next here on 96.5 The Fan.